I was really into the Spartan Games that they posted this year with the where they brought in CrossFitters and just people from different backgrounds. I think they had Ninja Warrior people and World Ultra Racers and Marathon people. It was really cool to watch that one.
Especially because you're a bit of a crossover athlete too, eh? It's probably would be right up your alley to do something like that.
Yeah, except for all the endurance. Some of the endurance was like so long. I was like, ooh, I don't know about doing like a 5 hour. It's like 5 hour running, maybe, I think, in a, yeah. But I think that concept is really cool to kind of have people from different backgrounds mesh in and do a competition because we're all just doing our own fitness stuff. So it's nice to just see where we're at with other people and kind of appreciate different ways to work out.
Now
Yeah.
you are aware that in the wrestling there, you weren't allowed to kick anybody in the head, right?
In wrestling?
Yeah, in their wrestling, you wouldn't have been allowed to kick anyone. There
No,
was
I wouldn't have
no
been able to use my taekwondo
no, nothing like
kicks.
that. I
But
started.
I did think that event was really cool, though. I was like, oh, I would have liked that.
Honestly, how do you think you would have? Because I think you would have done pretty well at that. I know, like you said, the
The
bike ride and the.
I know a little bit of wrestling. So on my taekwondo club, we had jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling, and taekwondo. So I would often hang out at the taekwondo club and just train at the boxing club. I've done a couple of the jiu-jitsu classes. I've just watched a lot of different martial arts too. Like I'm a huge UFC fan, MMA fan. So I would have been fine with the wrestling, I think.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
You think you could have handled Faith? You think you could have took her
I think so.
down?
I think so. She was a beast.
Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is my counterpart, elite obstacle course racer and portable powerhouse, Bethany McChesney. I'm going to try
Hi.
not to go all fanboy today, but we honestly have one of my favorite athletes in the world on, Carolyn Prevost. It's Prevost, right?
Yep, Prevo. Yep.
Because I didn't want to screw it up and make it Prevost, but anyway. So right off the hop, the first time I saw you was when I watched on TV at TMX. And I was like, I've never heard of this girl. They're like, a professional hockey player from Canada. And then you came out in the qualifying rounds and smoked it. You were the fastest qualifying time. I mean, just I did a TMX later on in Florida, but it was very different. What was it like for you to do that one?
I had never done any obstacle. That was my very first obstacle course race I'd ever done was the TMX. I got an invite a few months prior and they're like, would you like to take part in this world championship that they created? Kind of similar to the Spartan Games where they took a little bit of like CrossFitters. They had some Ninja Warrior people. And I remember going through the warm up the day before we got to like play around on the different like apparatuses and stuff and the events. And I was like hooked right away. I was like, this is so cool. And it just, I like when athleticism is paired with fitness. I think a lot of times, like, it's just pure fitness. And as an athlete of like so many sports, I find I can shine more when there's a little bit of like athleticism involved in it. And I had a great time. It was super hot. It was in Virginia, and my hands tore up for the for that event. It's just a different humidity than here in Canada, and I never rip. But I'm not doing. I usually have grips on, and the monkey bars. Like I'm very used to doing like my chest bars and my pull-ups, but kind of coming a little bit more forward as you're reaching on the monkey bars affected my hands. Just in a way that I wasn't used to. So I just like tore up. And I just remember in the final race, I was in the lead up until
It's
the
Kong
very last
Infinity.
thing was like, I think it was the Kong. There's like a little monkey bar and like my hands, I couldn't even hold on. Like it was just like blood everywhere. And I had put some kinesiology tape on my hands and it was just so slippery. I was like, I can't even hold on because it's just slipping. So that was a mistake on my part. But yeah, it was a really fun event. I want to do another one like that for sure.
Everybody begs for it and they'll never do it again because it costs too much money to set up. But I remember seeing that and I knew that it was going to happen when I watched it because I mean we have a lot of experience in obstacle courses. That's what we do generally. Hot day, steel bars equals melted skin. It's just gonna happen. And if I had seen one person wear gloves on that thing, I would have been like, yeah, that person's gonna do well because they'll get through it.
Yeah, no, I just didn't know that the tape was going to be that slippery, because it wasn't like I was in pain kind of doing the monkey bar stuff in the final event, but it was like the fact that there's so much like tape to protect my ripped hand just made it slippery. And I'm just like trying to hold on. I'm like, I just slipping away. So then I fell on that last thing. And then the rest of the field was like catching up. And at that point I knew right away. And if you like, basically it was like 25 grand for first. And then there was like nothing for second. And yeah, that was literally, if I finished that one, all I had to do was run around that little like 200 meter left or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I just ruined it. So then I fell and I was like, crap. So that was, yeah, disappointing. I just kind of sat there. I looked at my hands and I had other competitions coming up, and I just looked at my coach and he's like, at that point. So then I just sat there and I ended up finishing it, but I think I went way back to like ninth or eighth place at that point. But yeah, I was in the lead up until the last bit. Fun.
Man. So then from TMX, so you do CrossFit and mm-hmm. you went to the 2019 games mm-hmm. and you're our top Canadian, I see. So yeah. Was that your first experience then at the games?
Yeah. So I've gone to the games to visit prior years. I always want to go watch just because like as a fan of the sport also, mm-hmm. I love to go to the games. But that was my very first time as a competitor. And it was just so cool to be on the field. There were so many like competitors that year. We had people from all around the world. We had that opening ceremonies where you got to see everyone's flags and everything. Just really cool to go back also to the university I went to for hockey and compete there in another sport. So that was a neat experience for me. So it kind of had that home court advantage.
So how did you get into CrossFit then? So you balance a lot of things, and this is really impressive to me. So you're a high school teacher, mm-hmm. and you do CrossFit, and you play professional hockey.
Yeah, so coming out of university, so that was 2012, I had been multiple years, like four times on the under 22 national team for hockey, and then I was trying to make that jump to that senior team for the next Olympics. A lot of times they don't keep any in between 22 and the national team because they understand that, especially female athletes going to, you know, pursue a career, possibly a family or whatever. So at that age of 22, 23 years old, a lot of female athletes that are hockey players get kind of like released from the Hockey Canada program if they don't quite see you on the Olympic team at that point. And that's kind of the situation that I found myself in 2013 is, I did make that Olympic team for the 2014 Sochi Games. So then I'm released from the national program and then I'm on my own now for training. So I don't have the Wisconsin strength and conditioning program anymore. I don't have the Hockey Canada strength and conditioning program. So I'm just on my own kind of looking at what I'm going to do. And that's when I kind of stumbled across a CrossFit gym in my hometown at that point and just kind of fell in love with it right away because I felt like every time I was coming to the gym, it felt like I was going to my team practice where we're training together. Like it felt like a team. I didn't feel like I was going to a global gym, putting my music on and I was by myself. So I really fell in love with the community part, like right away. And then obviously the aspect of being very well-rounded in fitness just fell right in hand with everything I'd done my whole life. I'd never specialized in a single sport. So I loved the idea that, you know, you want it to be strong and also have very good endurance and, you know, work on everything in between there. So I just felt like with my background and everything, I wanted to compete in it almost right away, probably day one. But yeah, that's how I started with it, is just kind of getting that release of that Hockey Canada program and then needing another outlet to kind of fill in my competitiveness because I've, you know, it's a hole in my life right there. You kind of are searching for, okay, well, university is done. I'm about to start teaching or going to college reading. What am I doing? Like, I've only known myself as, you know, a hockey player, a soccer player, whatever it was for sport. And so I think CrossFit saved me. A lot of my teammates go through, you know, post university depression and just kind of like lost trying to find a way. And for me, like I never got that hole because I found CrossFit almost immediately. And it was a lifesaver for me. And I've seen a lot of other hockey players transition to CrossFit too now, or like other stuff like that, and kind of save themselves there too.
Yeah.
When you started, I mean, you made a pretty quick road from just getting into CrossFit to making it to the games. I mean, you're talking what, like a 3-4 year progression at best.
Yeah. The very first year CrossFit, I made the regionals at that point. But back then, like, the sport has really grown in the last few years. So, like, I kind of got into the sport right when it was, you know, taken off and people were training a little bit, you know, more smart. Like, I started CrossFit in 2013, but my training started when I was 3 years old. Like, it's, you know, I call myself, like, a rookie in 2013 when I started, but I have years of gymnastics up until when I was 9, all the hockey training I did, the soccer training, the taekwondo training, like all of that accumulated and got me ready to kind of start my CrossFit. And I don't think I could have been any more prepared, you know, to start CrossFit with those backgrounds that I had. I didn't Olympic lift, you know, obviously we don't do ring muscle ups when I was young in gymnastics. So there was definitely a learning curve there still is now. There's, you know, there's always something to work on, but I definitely had a good background to kickstart my way in CrossFit.
So I'm super impressed with just how you balance it all. So as a female business owner, athlete, and you're a teacher, and that was my job before too. And I know it can be a pretty demanding profession as well. So how do you do it all?
Just very good time management. I have a good idea of how long everything needs like to take in my day. So it's just like prioritizing every day I have like my priority. And so it's like work is always number one. When I was a student, it was school first, get my stuff done so I can buy myself time to do my athletic stuff in the evening, you know. And now I'm kind of same thing, but just a different role as a teacher. You know, it's when I get to work, if I can get as stuff done in my lesson prep time as fast as possible and just like get on the corrections, not procrastinate, and just, you know, chip away at stuff instead of letting it build, I can buy myself time so I can train in the evening. And as a teacher, you still kind of finish school fairly early, so I do have my evenings so that I can still do my sports like I had my whole life. So it's just a different way to look at it now as a teacher versus a student. But just a lot of time management, knowing, you know, things that I need to do. And sometimes it's putting stuff to the side. Like there's training sessions that I haven't been able to do, and it's okay. Like it's not the end of the world to miss a training session because you had to get, you know, report card comments done and correcting science tests and stuff like that. Like it's life. So I just feel like it's listening to my body, listening to, you know, just prioritizing my schedule. And I use my phone a lot to put everything in my calendar. So I put alarms everywhere so I don't forget things.
So you've never had to say like, Jimmy, I didn't grade your paper because I had to do back squats last night?
I'm actually pretty fast at correcting though. But yeah, there's sometimes where I'm like, I'm in the middle of a competition. I will get those done right after the weekend. But I try to correct and do things quickly because I try to treat them how I like to have things as a student. So I don't want to have my stuff corrected a month later. So and for me, like, I can't have stuff pile up because it's too much work. So like I said, like just chipping away at it and getting it done as quick as possible so that it doesn't build up, like, saves me time.
But think to the and I mean, I've watched it on Instagram. You either have very upset neighbors in your condo or very tolerant neighbors in your condo, because I've never seen anyone with such a, like, you were, it must be like a 12 by 10 foot space that you have a CrossFit gym set up beside a giant bay window.
Yeah.
In an apartment building, like, safety parameters, obviously OSHA should not come into your apartment and watch you work out. How does that work? Like that? I mean, I'm sure you're saving, that's another way to save time, but.
Yeah, like literally I'm teaching a class in the morning and during my lunchtime I'm getting in a workout and then I'm going back to teaching. I'm like all sweaty. I'm like, but no, it's actually not bad. I have like these like really pretty thick gymnastics hard mats there. I haven't dropped anything. Like, I'm not, there's no maxes that I'm doing right now. They're all basically 50 to 70-ish percent. And just kind of working on technical work there just to kind of keep up with some fitness while the gyms are all closed here in Ontario. actually, most of Canada, it's still pretty shut down. But yeah, it's I like everything I'm doing, like even like dumbbell snatches, like there's nothing that's banging on the ground or anything. The only thing I would think that would maybe make noise would be double unders, but even then I'm not pounding the ground every time. So I think it's fine. I haven't had any complaints, so I'm hoping that, well, I definitely have some good neighbors downstairs.
Well, you must be quieter than me, because anytime we do box jumps in our living room, my son who sleeps in the basement, he's like, doing box jumps, yeah. Right? He comes upstairs here. You know.
But I'm also doing like box jumps step down so yeah. that I'm not like rebounding also. So I'm trying to like land more like quietly. And then, yeah, I've been doing step downs like the whole time here just to not. Because if I'm like jumping down from the top, that'll be more of a pounding, obviously. So if I just like jump up, step down, it's not too bad. See, I'm being aware. Oh, I'm not just like carelessly lifting, but I also need to stay fit. So
if a plate ever goes out the window, make sure you got that on video, because that
oh, yeah. The windows are pretty solid though. And I don't plan to test how solid they are, but yeah. As far as me touching it and stuff, they are pretty solid.
So big news in the CrossFit world too this week. We had so Matt Fraser announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a CrossFit athlete, but I know personally it I was really upset about it. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but I'm also happy for him. Like as a fan of his, I would have liked to have seen just how many he could win. I'm convinced he would have won again, like just handily. Like he is so good. He is the best to do it. He's changed the sport. He's made it grow so much just by how good he was and is. Yeah, it's going to be a weird year not having him. And we don't know what's going on with Tia either on the female side. Also won't be surprised to see if she decides to retire and makes a decision in the upcoming month or so. She hasn't announced anything, but I, again, won't be surprised that finale that they had at the games hand in hand, you know, right. She's training for the bobsled stuff right now. We could be losing the top female athlete also and just having a big turnaround year. And it's time for someone else to step up and kind of take that CrossFit to another direction or another level again. There's always going to be people, you know, that are coming up and are going to be pushing the limits, but yeah, it's sad to see him go. But like I said, I think that he's definitely earned that retirement and, excited to see what new projects that he has in store. I think that he's talked about like opening up a gym like at his house basically and letting kids that don't have any like as many opportunities train for free and stuff like that, and just kind of treating them how he got treated when he was younger. And I think that's awesome to give back that way. So looking forward to kind of just following what he does with his career. But yeah, good for him. He's the greatest to do it.
Well, Matt, if you're looking for people who don't have the opportunity and you'd like to train, you can train me. I'm okay. I will step up because I'm like that. The one thing, though, and I agree with you, I'm going on complete speculation. I think Tia will follow suit as well.
I don't know. I think they're both done.
They have nothing left to prove.
Yeah. I think Tia wants to go for the bobsled team Olympic. Go to a summer game, a winter game, four CrossFit games championship, Commonwealth, like she's done it all. Like I think I just won't be surprised if they both do it together. And that was their finale together, hand in hand. And they decided that prior to going to the games. I think they probably looked at the games and they wanted to make sure it was still a legit test to kind of end their career. And I think it was. I don't think that you can put too much of an asterisk on that year. Like you can a little bit, but there's no questioning that those two would have won either way, whatever format they would have been. Those two are going to win.
So I'm going to circle back to that in a sec. But so while we're here, the 2020 CrossFit Games, and this is a question for I have for you specifically, because I really don't know. You were 26th overall in the Open. And then I believe there were 30-ish people in the stage one of the CrossFit Games. I think that's what they called it. And then the top five went on to do what we saw on YouTube, which was spectacular. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. But I was surprised that you weren't in that 30. Is there a reason why? Like, did they have different...
So originally I had my spot in the at the Games. So through the Open, it was top 20. So the way it worked is top 20 of the Open qualified. But then if you were a national champion inside the top 20, which there will be, because if like the first that wins like is from Iceland, so then her spot gets brought back. And so they ended up getting around like 30 something females, let's say. So I had my spot in October, November of last year. So I didn't compete in any of the sanctional events that had taken place. There were 10 sanctionals that had taken place in the first half of the season up until March when COVID hit. Those qualifying spots counted. So those 10 events that they made happen, I had had my spot. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to compete in any of those until the second half of the season to kind of see where I am and then start building up to get ready for the Games. COVID happened, and then the CrossFit Games changed the rules and decide to take away the national champions from the Open and just take the top 20 from the Open. So now I had my spot, and then they took out everyone that was a national champion. They just took out that rule, so that goes back to that top 20 line, which I was outside of. And then in front of me, some of those, like, one of them was pregnant. Two of them actually inside the top 20 were pregnant. So now it's going to 22nd. One of them tested positive at one of the events. So now it's 23rd. Two of them actually got spots through those events. So I was literally right on the bubble, but I didn't compete in those prior events. So I didn't get a chance to kind of redeem my spot. And then there was only one competition that took place after COVID, and it was the Rogue Invitational. And at that event, at that point, there was stuff going on in CrossFit at the headquarters and stuff like that. And Rogue didn't affiliate with CrossFit and took out the name. So it was like the Rogue Invitational, like without CrossFit. We went online. I would have gotten the qualifying spot at that event, but because they stopped affiliating with CrossFit in that moment, and because it was online, it didn't count as a qualifier anymore, which was annoying. I tried messaging Dave Castro on Instagram, and I was like, would you consider taking the two qualifying spots from the Rogue Invitational, seeing as now the CrossFit Games are moving online? Could you, you know, accept us as the qualifying spot? And they said no, because they said as soon as the competition went online, they said it didn't count. But then they went online. And I was like, well, could you? But he said no. So I tried. So I almost got the spot. But yeah, I was right there.
That must be a little bit frustrating. I know.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating, because when the events came out at the stage one, they were really good events for me. And I did all six events at my gym with the judge, with the same tape mark dimensions in every single area of the gym that they had to, like, they had specific regulations and rules for how they had to set up their equipment, time that they had to do the workouts within. So I tried to get as close to it as possible. And yeah, there were really good workouts for me there. So I would have done very, very well.
You actually know your times. You know exactly where you would have done, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have gone exactly that fifth spot there.
Because
then it would have been to Aromas, and but you don't know what the workouts can be in any year. Like, they can be good workouts for you, or they could be not as good of workouts. Like, so for someone like Tia, it doesn't matter, she'll crush anything. But for those other individuals that are kind of like, you know, on the bubble, like, you give a one rep max snatch, someone will do well. You do a clean and jerk, and it's going to be someone else. Like, I think the workouts kind of matter to me. In those kind of like bubble athletes, for the top ones, like, they're regardless, they'll crush it. But in just six events, you flip around a couple and change the movements, it can affect. So yeah, they were good workouts for me. So it was frustrating, but at the same time, like, there's nothing you can do about it. Kind of just keep training.
Oh, that'd be so frustrating. So moving into 2021 now, what is your goals? CrossFit, or you can do some other things, or?
Well, they're about to release the rest of the rule book. They released like most of the rule book so far. So, I mean, obviously my goal is to go back to the CrossFit Games in Madison and compete there individually. So going to try to prepare myself for that. Otherwise, in terms of hockey, we're going to have a few showcases, but it's really hard right now in Canada to get things going, as we don't have like the bubble kind of like the professional teams have. So we're going to have to try to create something like that and get some permission from the government to host these events. We just got some great partnerships with the New York Rangers and the Maple Leafs that just came out this week. So looking forward to seeing that PWHPA league eventually take place. So that's exciting for the hockey part of it. And then school-wise, goals are just to have all my students pass and learn things and grow as people and students.
So I actually just this morning signed up for the CrossFit Open. This is the first time I will ever.
Congratulations.
And then so I went through the rule book, and we have often referred to ourselves as fitness geeks and obstacle course racing geeks. So I'm very thorough, but I went through the rule book and I see your, I'm obviously me, I don't care, but I saw your road ahead, and it's, it's very difficult and so much different than the past 2 years, which I guess, you know, 2020 was so much different than 2019, where they had like, everybody was going and special invites, and that's how Hunter McIntyre was there and stuff like that. But this one,
I love that.
What's that?
There was a lot of controversy over like whether he should be there. I personally loved it. Like, if we're going to say that we have the fittest competition, invite the fittest. And he is one of the most incredible, like, he is an incredible athlete. Invite him. Like, I had no problem with that. Because if we're going to, like, if we're going to say we're the fittest, like, competition, and we have other athletes from different backgrounds, like, invite them. Like, I loved it.
It would have been very interesting to see if they had switched.
Continue the whole competition and actually do
If they had switched an event order.
Yeah.
So if they had put that ruck run in front of the handstand walk, that would be somewhere where you would have saw Hunter literally
away
from the field.
Yeah. And he would have won that event.
Hands down.
He would have won that event.
Yeah.
So the order of the events mattered. What the events were mattered. I get why a lot of CrossFitters are also frustrated, and there is a process to qualifying, absolutely. But the athlete part of me liked having Hunter there. I was like, yeah, like he's a great athlete. Like I've watched, the first time I saw him was at the TMX, and I was so impressed by him, and I followed him on Instagram from there and just kind of like followed what he's done. And I was like, oh, this guy is good. Like, if he learned a little bit more in CrossFit, like, he'll pick it up because he's just that fit.
Well, you know what? So I'm going to completely abandon what I was going, and I'm going to go somewhere else. So right now, and since we're talking about Hunter, the thing that he is top of the heap at right now is HYROX. And I don't know, do you know much about HYROX at all? Are you familiar with
it? I don't really know too much about it, but I know that there was this, the recent competition. That's the one that was in Germany, I think.
Yes.
Or is in Germany? Yeah. I saw that there were some CrossFitters there. He was there. He won that one, right?
Yeah.
He got second to Adkins in the Spartan Games. Yeah. Adkins is a great athlete too, though. There's so many fit people out there. It's just
so. And my question is, we did a show about HYROX. We actually did a few shows about HYROX, and you were
so one of what is HYROX? Like, what's different about it? Sorry, okay. I didn't follow as much that competition. So what does that one have?
So what it has essentially, you're doing, there's 8 workout stations essentially, and then 1 kilometer of running in between each station. Okay. Now they did on treadmills on the one you saw, but normally it's done in a loop format. It's not done on the treadmills.
Okay.
It what does it go through? You go through the ski erg, the row.
The ski erg, rower, farmer's carry, a sled push and a sled pull opposite, and then burpee broad jumps, walking lunges with the sandbag, and you finish with wall balls.
100 wall balls.
100 wall balls. Yeah.
So
a lot of machines and some strongman stuff.
Yeah.
Very just functional movements, nothing skill based.
But no
gymnastics based stuff.
No.
Yeah.
When we did our episode about it, you were one of the names of people that I brought up that I said I thought would be quite good at it. Now, that said, I don't know about your running endurance, so I'm not sure how that would have got you. So I guess my long question is, how do you think you would perform at something like that?
I'm definitely more of a power-based sprinter, especially with my background in like soccer, taekwondo, hockey. They're very much like my position in soccer was a striker and I was a sprinter there. Taekwondo is all footwork and explosiveness. So I definitely prefer short time domains there. I've gone better at the distance. I'm not horrible at it. So that would definitely be my weaker spot there. Continue to work on like that 800 to 1500 meter, that time domain. That's kind of like not quite long distance, but those repeated kind of loops that you get in a lot of comps, those ones I'm still trying to get better at that one.
Well, I'm still convinced they're going to make a shorter version, and that's where I think you need to sign up and go kick some ass.
That's why I think the TMZ or the TMX one worked really well for me, because it was only I think like a mile total with 10 workout stations. So like that one couldn't have fallen better into my hands. My hands got busted. It's like it could have fallen a little bit less. But yeah, that one was a fun event and right up my wheelhouse in terms of just like obstacles, CrossFit style stuff, athleticism, and not too much running. So that one was good.
So you need to really look into the Deca Mile then.
Yeah, that would be good then.
Yeah.
So, okay. Later.
Would the Deca Mile be the same thing basically as the TMX one?
Yeah, so it's 10 workout stations. Same thing, very functional movements. You have the skier, the bike, the rower. You have a sled, but it's lighter than Hyrox, farmer's carry, all the same type of stuff. And then you're only covering a mile total.
Yeah, so that would be better for me there, because if it's like a kilometer and then you're also now doing 10K because you've got a kilometer between 10 stations, like that won't be my strength for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had it at the Spartan Games. They did the DecaFit. So just take all those intervals and put 160 meter sprint between each one. And that's your Deca Mile.
I like that.
They were supposed to be in Canada last November to do it. And sadly, the world went to shit. But they're supposed to come back. So that'll be good. We'll be all over that when that happens. I want to do that one too. I gas out a little bit on the long stuff too. I mean, I'm a little long, maybe go a little further than you, but still for me, anything past like 10, 12 K and I start to really.
Just too much. Anything above like 7 or 8 K for me, I'm like, not really into that.
Well, I see like shiny objects and I get distracted and wander off and it's not good. So back to getting through for 2021. So you have to do the open. Right? That's step one. And
it's like the top 10% move on to the quarterfinals, which the way that I'm reading it is basically the open that we'll have first is like, it's going to be for everyone. Then the top percent, 10% move on to the quarterfinals, which in my head, that's the regular open that we have always known at, like, but it's going to be a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. And that one will be in the gym back to like a little bit more higher skill, like you'll see the ring muscle ups pop up and rowing will be there. And people will need to get access to the gym for that one. And then it'll be the semifinals, which will look a lot like the regionals from 2018 and before. And I believe there's 4 of them in North America. There's still some details left out of the rule book on those semifinals in terms of where they are and how people get to choose, because if you look at someone like Katrin David's daughter, who's Icelandic, if her citizenship is from there, does she have to go to the European semifinal, or does she count as one of the spots for the North America, where there's 20 spots total being taken, so like 5 out of each of the 4 semifinals? Like, I'm not sure. They haven't really talked about that part of it, so I'm not sure if it'll be 20 North American
athletes going through, like citizens that are going through. And then, yeah, then after that, it's going to be 40 individuals on the male and 40 individuals on the female side at the CrossFit Games.
So my understanding,
there's also a last chance qualifier too.
Yeah.
For like an extra two spots to make the 38 to 40.
Yeah. My understanding recently, and this would be information coming from Arm & Hammer, yeah, would be that, yeah, it's based on citizenship. That was the last I had heard him say.
Yeah, that would make sense. And then it just depends on, can you choose which competition you go to? Because then all of a sudden it becomes very strategic. If you know that these top five athletes are all going to the same one, well, I'll be like, let's go to this one, so I have a better chance of that top five. It's going to play a factor for sure. So I don't know if we'll get to choose, or if you're ranked a certain amount, it's like you spread them out. I don't know what they'll do.
The way I read the rule book seemed like you would be invited to a certain one. Now, like you say, it seems like a constant floating target and the rule book could change.
Yeah. So,
but that's the way I read it, would it seemed you would be invited to a certain specific one if you met the criteria in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
We shall see. Well,
I guess we'll see. I'm sure in the following year too, like they'll look back at this year and be like, we could have done this better. We'll change it for next year. Like this is the first year that they're kind of starting this new chapter, I guess, to CrossFit. So I won't be surprised if it'll get still tweaked up a little bit in the next couple of years until we finally find our rule book that's just consistent and stops changing.
So to go back to Matt's retirement and Tia's possible retirement, this obviously changes the game and opens the landscape. And I personally think that in a way, it's kind of good because dynasties usually breed incredible competition when that dynasty ends. So I think if those two are not in the CrossFit Games in 2021, the competition level would just go through the roof.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting. Like you said before, like people are gonna have to step up. People are gonna be battling against each other. People are gonna train harder smarter because that chance is there now in front of them and they see it. And you know, it's like that, like Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. Like everyone's just ready to like compete and try to get on that podium. That's the spot off the podium. Like they're guaranteed podium spots every year. So if you were just outside of that, like you're looking at that following year and you're like, how can I get on that podium? So yeah, I think it's definitely going to create a lot of competition within the female and the male. If Tia retires, if she doesn't, then we have our work cut up to get that top spot. That's for sure. Because she's incredible.
So do you think someone, say, like our Canadian contingent, do you think any of those guys have a shot at taking that top spot? I mean, you got, you know, Fikowski and
Adler, Sam Cormier. We have a lot of really good talent here. I won't be surprised to see one or two on the podium. That's not a shocker. Like they're very good athletes. They have good experience and... yeah, it's we have some good Canadians. Like it's fun to follow their paths and support them and see how far they're gonna get. Like I definitely see one or two Canadians being up there and pushing for those spots. That's for sure. There'll be some no names too that we don't know and who know, you know, there's always up and coming people that are hungry. So,
and like you said, the events themselves will play even more of a key.
Yeah, like I think the more events you have, the more that like just your well-rounded people stand out. But when you only have five or six events, the events matter. It's just not, it's not enough events in my opinion, five or six in a competition to really, like for the top ones sure, but like for like you'll miss out on some kind of like bubble people. But if you have a full weekend of events, you know, 10 to 15 events, regardless of what you put in there, you're going to hit everything and the top people will distinguish themselves for sure.
Well, I'll definitely be pulling for yourself. And Pat Vellner is the guy that I always pull for, another TMX alum. So, you know, that's easy to pick.
Yeah. I don't know, Dave, do you have any other questions?
Just Carolyn, if there's anyone you want to shout out, sponsors or anything like that.
I'm good on my side. maybe just cross a Coliseum, my home gym here. That's where I train. Well, and how about my living room? Right? I'm going to shut out my living room.
What is,
and my
what is,
I'm going to shout out my neighbors downstairs.
What is the enrollment fee to your living room as well, anyway? Like, are you taking members? Is there a sign up?
I should hear it. I've actually had a few friends that are like, I think I want to come train at your home gym. I was like, well, I just got to see where you've been hanging out, because I don't want to have to quarantine and all of a sudden have COVID, and then that ruins a little bit of my training.
You're in Toronto, correct?
Yes, I am. Just in Toronto, but not like in the downtown, just outside of downtown.
Yeah, Toronto's been hit pretty tough, actually, because your gyms never did reopen at all, did they?
They did open for a little bit, the end of the summer, I want to say. We could have like 10 people, but that didn't last very long. It was like a few weeks, and it was like shut down again. So yeah, we've been shut down for a while. Not as bad as Quebec. Quebec's been shut down a little bit longer than us, but Toronto was one of the first to get shut down in Ontario.
Yeah, and it might be one of the last to reopen too.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting with the open in, what, 5-6 weeks now? Like, if it will be open by then, what's going to happen? Because there's obviously multiple divisions that you can do the open, but there's only one that really allows you to move on, and that's having access to a pull-up bar and a little bit more equipment there. So we'll see. Hopefully things open up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking too, just the differences, like you're playing women's hockey as well. And we talk a fair bit too about gender inequalities in sport, and growing up playing hockey as well. I was saying to Dave before, and I'm a bit older than you as well, but I was in a generation when women's hockey was just starting, and my hometown started a women's hockey program when I was 8 or 9. And so that's when I had started. And I was saying, we used to get the worst ice times, like 5 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And it was just such a like, oh yeah, the women's team, like the Forgottens. And the fact that you're not able to go on the ice yet and you're playing at the highest level you can in Canada, like, do you deal with that still a fair bit?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get exemptions right now so that we can get back on the ice. Prior to all this like lockdown stuff, we had to go 10 on the ice with the coach, wear masks. So we had to split up our basically our like 2-hour practice into two groups of half would go on the first hour, half would go on the second hour. And obviously we have a 25 player roster, so not even everyone could, because 25 and you divide that in 10, like you're missing 5 people plus the coaching. So some people were practicing like a few times a week. Some people were practicing like once a week. It was just all over the map. So we're just trying to get some exemption to be able to practice more consistently. Our ice times have always been very late. And that's because we're not making really a salary in this professional women's hockey league. And it's not like anything sustainable. So people work full-time jobs throughout the day. So we end up practicing oftentimes like 9 o'clock at night to like 11 o'clock at night. And then you go back the next day, you're going back to work. But we have to practice late, sometimes 8 o'clock, because it allows people to finish their work, travel to wherever they need to go and practice, and then you practice. But yeah, it's not ideal ice time. And it's just that's some of the things that we're trying to fight for as female hockey players is, you know, how are we expected to, you know, put out our best effort on the ice when we're practicing late at night, we're traveling, let's say on a bus, a few hours, and then you go and play that same day. Like, you would never get that. If you look at the NHL, they would never travel and fly somewhere, get off the plane or off the bus, having bus legs or plane legs and going on the ice right away. Like, your increase of injury or your risk of injury is much higher right there just from the travel. Like, you see it at the lower levels or, you know, amateur level, but not at the professional level. You don't see that right. Type of just like resort, like you're traveling earlier, you're going to the hotel, you're prepared, you're practicing at, you know, not 9 o'clock at night, but during the day. But we're just not there yet. We're getting some great support right now from the NHL. So the hope is that eventually we can, you know, have a normal professional athletic schedule with the resources, the strength and conditioning coaches that are in the same building training us, and athletic trainers and stuff like that, so that we can, you know, grow the game even more. Because if we're getting to where we are right now with the conditions that are placed on us, imagine if we were actually given a league and, you know, a platform where people can see us on TV and it's visible, and we're getting, you know, we're utilizing the resources that are already there for the males. You know, they already have these complexes and everything like that, but we're not getting any access to it. We're paying our own tape. We're buying our own equipment and stuff. So like, if we were given that same type of resource, like, I think our sport would grow even faster than what it already is. It's already one of the fastest growing sports in the world for women's hockey. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that takes off in the next couple years, because I think we have some good momentum right now with the PWHPA.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And you have to have that exposure piece too, because how do you show young girls out there that, you know, there's these women that are still doing it past the age of 21, 22, and they can do it, and they're working a full-time job, and they're still making this work. Like, you have to have people that girls see, and they say, you know, Carolyn's doing it, I'm going to do that too, because that's what you're really lacking when you're not giving that exposure. And that's the next generation in the sport.
That's the problem, is there's been very low visibility, if not like just lack of those visibility. They're starting to show more female sports on TV, but for the longest time, the only time that you saw female sports was at the Olympics.
Right.
So as a female athlete growing up, your goal is to go to the Olympics. That's it, because that's all you know, right? As a female athlete, is you go to the Olympics. If you're a boy, some of them dream about going to the Olympics, but most of them, they dream about playing professional hockey, professional basketball, professional football. They see the leagues. They don't even think about the Olympics. But we as female athletes, it's Olympics. Yeah. Except if you're a tennis player and golf player, there's professional income that's a little bit higher there. But in most of our sports, it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
So because that's the only time that you see female sports. But if you went and you're browsing the TV and you saw more often other sports being played, and, you know, WNBA has done a very good job at kind of flipping their season during the summer so that they get more of that focus. You know, if we kind of follow suit with even the NWSL, the soccer league stuff, and, you know, their affiliation with the men and WNBA and their affiliation with the NBA, like, I think that we can get some more momentum for female sports and more visibility on TV, because people don't even know about our leagues and stuff that exists because they don't see it. So that's, you know, you just need people to kind of take chances on different sports and help it grow. Because it is popular. Like, when you look at the Olympics, Canada versus USA hockey game is one of the most well-watched events, like, over the men even. But then people after the Olympics don't know where to watch it. Don't watch it because they don't see it. It's a one every 4 year thing. So it's crazy. Like, female athletes sacrifice so much for, like, those 4 years for that one moment, and then don't really have any revenue or anything like that. Like, they just sacrifice a huge chunk of their life with not much to show for after. So it's, you know, it's a work in progress, but we're looking to change that, to start creating these professional leagues so that kids can dream about, you know, I want to go to school here, and then I want to play for this professional team. You know, there's more than the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think the onus actually falls down to us, to people like me, like Bethany, like, to pay attention, to watch, to be, because I mean, as long as there's no revenue generated, it's not going to take off. So when we do get a chance to watch it, when we do get a chance to take part, to go to a game or whatever, that's where we, as, you know, fans or people who want to progress the women's sport, need to step up and essentially speak with our dollars, speak with our attention.
Yeah, it's not enough to say, oh, we support you. It's like, no, you need to back it up with, we are going to go to your games, or when you're on TV, we're going to keep that in the background and watch it. You know, if you're not getting those eyes, if you're not getting those dollars, like, it's hard to get those leagues going and stuff like that. So yeah, you have to put your money where your mouth is.
And it's tough too for the athlete to do it themselves. Like, it's hard for you to say, I need to grow this sport, because you're already doing it. You're in it. So, yeah. And you getting out there and, you know, you're a teacher, so your students know what you do. So you're out there and you're already doing everything you can do to promote your sport, but it's everybody else outside of you as the athlete that needs to help that.
Yeah, totally. And it can be frustrating, right? It's like, we feel like we're like, the product is there. We just aren't getting the visibility and stuff like that. It's frustrating, but I mean, I have seen growth over the years. Like when I started, when I entered, back then it was the Canadian Women's Hockey League, every single year got a little bit better. We got a little bit more fans, better sponsorships, and stuff like that. But it's still nowhere near what it should be. Looking at the resources that, the males have, we should be able to have access to, limited things at least. It's just not there yet.
Yeah, things seem slow to change sometimes, eh?
Yeah, it's hard. You look at the comments, even on Instagram and stuff like that. As soon as a woman's highlight of any sport is being made, I don't even want to look at the comments because it's just a bunch of people just saying the most ridiculous and rude and awful things. And I'm just they are so much better than you. But people are just behind their computers, and it can be the best woman highlight, and it's so much trash in the comments and stuff. People have just been, they haven't seen enough, right? So all they've been told is female sports suck and don't play sports, go in the kitchen and stuff. And you look at the comments and it's just awful. And it's just sad to see that that's still comments that people are making in, in 2021. And, obviously there's a lot of education that needs to happen still. With people and to get more credibility for female sports. It's not going to be at the exact same level. It's a different type of game and stuff. And I think that there's, appreciation in all types of sport. There's sports that are better to watch for females than males too. It's just.
Yeah.
Tennis is way tennis, better to watch for women.
CrossFit.
CrossFit, yes. We talk Hyrox,
gymnastics, right? Stuff like that. It's just changing. But again, it comes down to the lack of exposure.
And I think CrossFit has done a really good job of being very equal with men and women. And even so much as bringing strong women to the forefront and being like, this girl is such an amazing athlete. She's so strong. And I think in a lot of cases, women sometimes do get more attention even than the men in CrossFit. And I think it's just been so good for women's sports to have that.
Absolutely. It's really refreshing to be a part of a sport that is treating their athletes equally, in terms of payment. I was I went to my first competition at CrossFit and it was the same prize, male and female. And I was what? no.
It's too bad that you shouldn't have been shocked by that.
I've never been at any competition, local or the games or anything, where it wasn't even between guys and girl prizes. And just that's incredible. You do not see that in a lot of sports at all. So it's really cool to be a part of.
And even that you do the exact same workouts.
Same workouts. Some of the weights will change a little bit.
The exact same workouts.
Yeah. It's refreshing. It's nice to see that.
Yeah.
And then again, it's nice to see that strong bodies are appreciated and they're getting more exposure, and young females are being able to see that it's not just these skinny models, but you should strive to be a strong, independent female. So it's really cool to see that that's getting very valued in CrossFit.
I
think that's a great way to close it out. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks so much, Carolyn. We really appreciated having you on. You're such an inspiration. Keep doing what you're doing, crushing it, and thanks for letting us have a chat with you today.
Yeah, no problem, Bethany. Thanks for having me, Dave. Thanks for reaching out. And hopefully anytime. I'll maybe see you guys in some sort of OCR, Spartan.
Hyrox, DECA.
Hyrox, TMX.
I'll be sure to let you know when DECA and Hyrox come to town.
Yes.
And you know it's going to be in Toronto anyway, so it'll be a nice, close, easy one for you to do. And
I'll want to take part in those for sure.
So when you two battle it out at DECA, then I can be the one that just says, yeah, see, I knew
it. It's going to be a David and Goliath with me and Carolyn.
Well, I'm going to say, so here's the way I would pick it. All right. So High Rocks, you know, Bethany got the wheel. She can run for days and is super fast, but that sled is killer. That sled
is killer. You would do the workout station.
I'll do the workout and you run the station. Yes. We'll come
and then we'd back up again and you'd get ahead of me and then I'd run and catch back up.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Set up a tag team like that. That would be really cool, actually.
Can they do it? Are there any tag team versions of those? Like they would have team competitions for CrossFit. Are there team versions of Spartan and High Rocks too?
You do a team with High Rocks. So you can do a two-woman team. So you split up the workout and you can split it up however you want, and then you run together.
Of course.
That's the problem though. Yeah. I don't get that. Why make
it? I don't want to run together. I want you to run. And I'll be-
If we could tag team it, we would be very good though.
All right. Yes. I'm going to send E-Rock a message and say, dude, like what the hell? Come on, make this happen.
Let us break it up how we want.
Yeah. Exactly. Let us make the rules as we go along.
Yeah.
just like
the CrossFit rule book lately.
That's right.
Move on the CrossFit rule book.
I think in the DECA, I think you guys would have a really close in because the weights are lighter there. So and then the running's not as far. So it would actually be more of a middle ground. That would be very exciting to watch. I'd be down with that one.
Be fun. Yeah. I'd love to compete against you, Carolyn. That'd be fun.
As long as they take that heavy sled out.
Just take that heavy sled out.
Well, what is it? It's like, how heavy is the push? It's
275 or 300. Yeah, just under 300.
No, but would you
got that same one from the Spartan games with like the wheels?
That's for DecaFit.
Okay.
And that one's
also DecaFit one.
And that's less than the High Rocks weight.
Yeah, way less. The High Rocks one was the one that you saw Sam Briggs at with the 12 people.
Gotcha.
And you saw her pushing. Like, she did great. Then that's where she did really well.
She finished fourth at the High Rocks, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the cool thing was she did the 100 wall balls unbroken at the end, and not too many people pull that off.
No, she's the engine. She's good. It's funny because the people that they chose for from the CrossFit world to do like the Spartan or even the High Rocks are our best like endurance people. Like Chris Garamo is like one of our best endurance. She's also very strong though too.
Oh yeah.
Like Sam Briggs is endurance. I'm still curious like how someone like Tia, who's also very, very strong, like our strongest and our fittest, how she would have done in something like that.
I'm sure they would have welcomed her quite openly. I know Heppner was supposed to do Spartan Games. Originally, he was on the list of people that was supposed to go, and then, you know, somehow it didn't work out for him or whatever. But he was even willing to help them design some of the workouts so that it's a...
He was at the TMX too.
He was awesome at TMX. Yeah. I think he come second both times he did it or whatever.
He's good. He's great.
He's the best box jumps. I want to learn how to do box jumps like him. Like, it just, he stays so tight and compact, and he doesn't even look like he's putting any effort into it whatsoever.
He's little, though. He's little. Yeah. Moves well.
But, So we'll definitely let you know when they come to town. And,
cool. Let me know.
You're at that. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Carolyn. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.